You are listening to the epic fantasy novel, Lion's Last Kill. My name is Will, and I'm the author, and I'll be reading it to you. This is chapter 23. If you are just tuning in now to this novel and you want to listen to it from the beginning, you can check out one of my websites. I have it there, totally free. www.stormthecastle.com, www.castlefiction.com, or www.epicfantasy.com. And the Epic Fantasy has a dash in it, so that's epic-fantasy.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Lion's Last Kill, and this is chapter 23. They rode into the castle through the gates in the south wall, and many people, including Pedro, were waiting for them. The people in the castle had followed the progress of the two locator stones, and knew that the first division commander was returning with his stone, and that he was traveling with the stone that the expedition had left with them some 3 weeks ago. Whether or not there were any survivors from that group, or if it was just the stone returning, nobody knew. Bosch nearly fell off his horse from fatigue, and Pedro threw her arms around him to hold him up. With the new insight and his new sense of things, he could feel her presence. He could feel the warmth and the love she held for him. He also felt something distinctly different about her. She gasped and looked at his neck, then sat him on a bench and gently unbuttoned his shirt to look at the extent of the injuries to his neck and jaw. He thought about her and looked at her in the new language of the everything. He soaked in her beauty and her presence, and he heard a distinct second voice. It was very gentle and very soft, and it was coming from her. He looked into her eyes, and he could see it. She was pregnant, and this hit him like a thunderbolt of joy, and tears welled up in his eyes. The second voice he was hearing was that soft and gentle voice of the baby. He tried to speak, but his jaw wouldn't cooperate. He stood up to hug her, and vertigo hit him like a strong ocean wave, and it washed over him and left him in blackness. He woke up in her bed. It might have been days later, the same day, or maybe the next day. He lifted his hands and felt around his neck and face, and found clean bandages covering all of his neck and most of his head. There was just a slit where his eyes and nose stuck out, and there was a small full hole for him to breathe out of. The sun was shining and the room smelled pleasant. It finally struck him that he had made it. It was now real, and from this moment on, everything would change. He would go back to his world and complete the machine, and everything there would be all right. The machine would speak the ancient language of the world, and everyone would awaken. They would move on to the next step in being human. There would be no more hate, no more war, no more murder. He would bring all this upon them. But first, he would bring it to this world. But until he could speak, there was still danger, and he thought about Plexus. Since Varga had been killed, that meant that Plexus was now the commander of the military, and he would need to be briefed by Bosch. He would want to know everything that happened. The Breck was still a threat, and until the word could be spoken to them, they would remain a threat. And this thought brought a strange image to Bosch's mind. He laughed when he saw the Breck as docile and loving creatures. He wondered if their physical appearance would change when they understood the word and came to know the love. While Bosch lay in her bed healing, Petra spent most of her time by his side. She didn't even bother with her garden. They slept together every evening, and the warmth of her next to him chased away the quickly fading memories of a cold mountain and the icy stare of the oracle. He had nothing left in him but love for her and for everything that lived. On what he believed to be his sixth day, Petra removed most of the bandages, and he started eating solid foods. She cut it up into very small pieces, and he ate slowly at first, but within a few more days his cheeks were starting to glow with health, and the two of them were taking walks around the garden and grounds of the castle. It was almost another week before he started to talk. And that talking came slow at first, but by the end of the first day of talking, he and Petra had discussed many things. although she had not brought up the subject of carrying his child. He could see that it was not fear that held her back, only the desire to wait until he was better so he could receive the news with a warm and healthy heart. They were sitting on a bench in the flower garden when she brought up another subject that was weighing on her mind. He was healthy enough now for her to talk up to him about weighty things. "Did the oracle tell you the answer that you sought?" she said. They had talked about many things as his voice came back to him, but they were all small and light things. Until now, they had not spoken of his quest. He smiled gently at her. "Yes." "She told me how I could complete the machine." Her brow wrinkled. This meant that he would be returning to his world to complete it. But he didn't let her think these thoughts for more than an instant. "I will go back to my world and complete the machine. It will take me less than a day. Then I will return her to stay." He paused a long moment, then looked in her eyes and finished with, "Forever." The wrinkle on her brow disappeared. He had told her the thing she most wanted to hear, but had never asked for. He smiled and beamed more love at her. "Not solely because you are carrying our daughter, but also because I love you." Her shoulders jerked ever so slightly at this double surprise, and she looked down at her stomach. How could he possibly know, she thought. She was barely 1 month pregnant. Did it show already? And why did he say daughter? How could he possibly know that? He rested his voice for a few minutes while they just embraced, and she lay her head on his shoulder. While the two of them looked at the flowers and took in the smells of the garden, he explained to her what the oracle had shown him. "With one word of the ancient language, you will remember the tongue, and this will come to you too. I will spread this amongst everyone, and they will unforget what they have long forgotten. There is a new time come upon us now." He lifted her head by placing a gentle finger on her delicate chin. He gave her a long and loving kiss, and then, staring into her eyes, he uttered a single word unlike any word she had ever heard before. It was a sing-song word that brought her to remember the language that had been forgotten 1,000 generations in the past. But it was all right there, locked up inside her memory. All it needed was to be remembered. He looked in her eyes, and as the revelation came to her, he could see tiny motes like stars swirl inside her pupils. She became one with him, and one with a love that existed in all of creation. She looked out at the flowers in the garden, and could see the love that they had. They were singing a song of joy for being alive, and she could hear it. She could feel threads of love and life as they stretched out from the garden to all of creation. Everything was right, and everything was beautiful. All of the anxiety of the world fell away from her and from the daughter that grew inside her. This is the end of chapter 23. Stay tuned next week for chapter 24.